It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, rocking with you. Apparently, the Steelers have their first known head coach interview requests out, and it seems like they're trying to raid... They're trying to raid the Rams. They're trying to do the touch the hem of Sean McVay's garment. A couple of names. Chris Shula, clearly defensive coordinator there. He's a dude who has been on the top of these, you know, names to watch boards for the coaching carousel. But Nathan Schielhaas has been up.
That's been a popular name.
So, yeah, Nathan Schielhaas. He is the passing game coordinator for the Rams. So, obviously, he took over for one Nick Caley. And he's 35 years old, played quarterback at Illinois back in the day, but he's a young brother that people are interested in. Apparently, Baltimore, Cleveland, Las Vegas have also requested him. So he might be doing the jump the line thing because, I'm not talking about offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
they're looking at interviewing him for the head coaching job.
That's nuts.
Weird.
Absolutely. Especially, as look, we understand Sean McVay, as you said, touch the hem. You know,
That was the Zach Taylor experience, wasn't it?
It's important. But from passing game coordinator, when the head coach calls most of the offense and game plans most of the offense, reportedly, so you know, expectedly, to head coach, whew, that's a big jump. That's a big jump.
Man, can I work for Sean McVay? Because apparently you just can get jobs off it, man. That is incredible. But yeah, that's a news, a little note that is flying around. Definitely more important note around these parts. The fellas are at practice. Texans are getting their practice in. And no, Nico Collins is not present at practice today. And I feel like that might all but do it for the possibility of him playing.
Yeah, because you need the two practices, right?
You probably need the two practices. You might even need another additional opportunity to get out there and work on a Friday. Clearly, you couldn't do much on a Saturday. Or maybe you could. Maybe you would work your way around traveling to get him out there and do things on a Saturday to see if you can get him up to speed. Remember, there's five steps in the return to play protocol, and like three or four of them require active work and, you know, without showing symptoms on the backside of it. So the reason why this becomes, why I sound nervous about this is one, because I can tend towards anxious in a way that I shouldn't anyways. But two, the Patriots are getting the other side of the concussion story this week back. At least it seems like they're on track to. I shouldn't say that in a definitive way. And I want to, you know, make sure that I reel that back in. But Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback, number one cornerback for them, really. He dealt with a concussion on the weekend, is in the concussion protocol, but he will be practicing, or is practicing rather, today, which means that he is trying to fulfill those steps. Now, does he actually fulfill all of those steps to get back? We will see, but you have to be able to get out there to try in order to do that. And he is doing that. Nico Collins is not. And it feels like that probably should have been the case. We had ourselves in that place. It's his second concussion of the season, which that also...
That has to be a factor.
Has to be a factor.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I still think that earlier hit where he went to the tent is a factor.
It's possible.
On Monday night.
It's possible. But, yeah, this feels like you're not going to have Nico Collins. And I think that, for me, this elevates the idea that, you know, what you have offensively, you're going to need to make sure that you run the football, and it's going to be incumbent upon Christian Kirk showing up.
Yeah.
I think Dalton Schultz has to show up in a bigger way as being the number two, you know, target for C.J. Stroud. I want to see him have more than four targets in this game, or at least be more productive in being a outlet there. And then Jaden Higgins is going to be an interesting
one. I think Jaden Higgins might be the most important piece. I think Jaden Higgins, you know, hey, you're not a rookie anymore, you know, kind of thing. You're built like Nico Collins. Now, I know it took Nico Collins a while to really become the guy that we know, but you've made some plays. It's playoffs. It's late in the season. You're not expected to carry the load like Nico Collins because of Christian Kirk and Dalton Schultz, but you have to be a factor in this game. I mean, you have to be able to make that 50-50 ball catch and those type
of
things.
Well, the thing I was hoping for, if Christian Gonzalez didn't play, and we're still not certain that he will, I want to, again, make that clear. He is practicing. He is going through the concussion protocol. It's already tough enough to make it back in 1 week from the concussion protocol, so I should put that out. But I was looking at who would have to step in the instance that he did not play, and I was given a little bit of confidence in looking at this for the Patriots. I believe it would be, let me make sure that I have my notes right here, Alex Austin. Does his name sound familiar? He's been on the Texans, but He stepped in for Christian Gonzalez in the earlier the three games earlier on in the season, like literally started the season when Christian Gonzalez was designated for return from IR. Actually, he's designated from return for IR, but he, you know, he's had a wrist injury, but also he can be spun around. He's susceptible to double moves. You know, he's not as physically stout as Christian Gonzalez. I was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I know that Marcus Jones, the slot for them is really good. But if they are dealing with one of their outside cornerbacks that is susceptible, well, you can have, you know, Higgins on one side and Xavier Hutchinson on the other side that can maybe get to it. Now, if you go back to their Christian standard Gonzalez, of what they have, it's a little bit less certain that you're going to be able to attack them, at least in a way that feels like it is a definitive advantage from the jump. You're still going to have to create advantages. Nick Cayley's still going to have to be on his job getting guys open. But it would be a little uncomfortable if Christian Gonzalez is there, but you don't have Nico Collins to counteract that and impose your will.
And I get the, you know, the feeling of, you know, hey, wait a minute, you know, how is that happening? And Nico is still being held out. I mean, we all know, but just to reiterate, you know, the concussions are all different. The level of, you know, I guess the testing, you know, how they react, et cetera, makes a difference. I actually do, and Mike Vrabel talked about it, that he expects him out there in practice. I actually do think Christian Gonzalez would probably play and Nico Collins would probably not. Now, there is a level of good news out of Texans practice.
There is. Yeah. Juwan Jordan has been seen at practice, which is good. That is good to see him back at practice because, again, I think running the football is going to be important even more so now that you're looking at, you know, obviously Nico Collins probably not playing again. I should not speak in definitive, so I'm trying to be very careful about that. But if you get Juwan Jordan back, that is three guys that I kind of like doing some of the things. Although Juwan Jordan is more of an outside guy. Mm-hmm. I think I should acknowledge that. And I do wonder if this is a game where you want to go again more to the inside, especially inside zone, those types of things. But he read his blocks pretty well and ran all right and ran actually more than all right when he did that. Mm-hmm. But I sometimes wonder, is that his bag? But if you have three guys there, I think you can give all of them a little bit of touches here and there, see who's going, and really lean into it to give yourself a good opportunity in running the ball well.
No, I think it's big. And boy, you know, even just a month ago or 5-6 weeks, we wouldn't have said it. But the ability of and it has nothing to do with his 100-yard game. Just the change up of him to be able to hit the outside to give this team another option, I think it's very, very big.
Yeah, so that's some of what we're seeing out of practice. Trent Brown also absent per Cody Stutes. Out there.
That's got to be just a veteran thing.
That's what I would imagine. No, yeah. Trent Brown, no DeNico Autry, no Justin Watson either.
Now, Sam Warren is saying that the first receivers out with the offense are Christian Kirk.
Okay, that makes sense in the slot.
Jaden Higgins.
Sure.
And Jalen Noel.
Oh, so maybe not Christian Kirk in the slot,
no,
depending.
No, Christian Kirk, yeah, Christian Kirk outside.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So that's as of, hey, first, you know, session of the first practice of the week. So who knows?
Maybe this is just getting the look of it, you know, and trying some things out and seeing how you handle that. That would be different than what they did last time with, you know, when Nico Collins was out earlier on the season. That was not the way that they went about this. So that's interesting to see the different ways that they're trying to address this. I want to take some time to maybe
and just keep an eye on it.
Yeah, keep an eye on it, but also, you know, spin that around in my mind and see what that is. But Autry and Brown, I'm not worried about. They're a little bit more advanced in the league.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing, and I think also just giving them that rest is probably a smart way of handling it. Mm-hmm. Which D'Amico Ryan seems to handle getting his guys back to play in the right way. Would you say that?
Oh, 100%.
He's been a very good coach this year, and I say that understanding that there has been criticisms. There's still some criticisms of D'Amico Ryan as we speak, but there's been times where it's been hot, it's been loud. He's gotten into de facto arguments with the media, if that's what we want to call it. You good and all, but on the other side of it, you can't argue with the results.
No,
to some degree. And with that, where do you rank D'Amico Ryan's amongst the coaches, especially the ones that remain, or just the coaches generally? I saw this as
well. Let me do both.
Yeah.
So you're talking about where would I rank D'Amico Ryan's as a head coach in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the entire list in front of me. I'm just going by off the top of my head. I would say he's...
Even just roughly, if you want to.
Roughly top 10 would be safe, I think. 12, maybe. What do you think? Just your gut, Figgy.
My gut.
You have to say it. You have to ask.
Gut.
There you go.
I will probably say slightly out the top 10, right? Mm-hmm. Right at this moment. because I still feel like people are still, you know, they look at D'Amico Ryans as a great coach, but, you know, they I feel like they still trying to fill him out a little bit.
Yeah, and I also wonder how people look at him, especially with the ways that we've talked about it, where is he just a defensive guy and then the offense does not get a lot of love, which there should be a level of appreciation. I saw somebody commenting from Pittsburgh about every, you know, in every drive where the offense was on the sideline, he was going over and talking to the offensive line. And it's one of those things that you do not see, you know, typically, but if you have the right vantage point, you see the ways that he's trying to really be that walk around CEO coach. Interestingly enough, John Fraschella, who is, you know, a self-reported NFL insider, NFL writer, he put together a tweet, or I guess you could kind of call this a piece because it's kind of long here. But in it, he did his own personal ranking of the best 30 tactical coaches in the NFL.
Which is interesting because there's only 23.
Well,
right now.
Well, real right now. But
no,
he,
I'm just kidding.
He also included some like...
the best 30 tactical coaches.
Yes. And he says coaches, doesn't necessarily get into head coaches. So because there's some coordinators that he'll throw onto this list as well, right? The likes of... Clay Kubiak shows up here, the 49ers offense. No, Clay.
Oh, Clay.
49ers offense coordinator, but he's 29th, right? Just to give you an idea of some folks that are in here. He also excluded some players, some coaches, because he did not feel like they were good enough.
Yeah.
But, and this is one person's opinion, but I found it to be interesting. Number one, Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
He feels like the guy that we're looking at running the league when it comes to
especially this year,
right?
And especially when you consider tactical.
Tactical.
Like getting
all caps.
X's and O's. Yeah. Yeah.
Number two is he put D'Amico Ryans here.
What?
I was surprised. Ahead of Ben Johnson at third, ahead of Sean McVay at fourth, ahead of Mike McDonald at fifth, ahead of Mike Vrabel at sixth.
Hello, Andy Reid.
Ahead of Liam Cohen at seventh. Andy Reid at 11th. Sean Payton at 10th.
What? Tactical?
Yeah. And I found that to be interesting. Are we underappreciating in any way our head coach?
It sounds like we are, but I think he's overappreciating. Look, like, this is not a slight, but I mean, you know, Andy Reid is pretty good at the old X's and O's thing. You know, Shanahan, we know that, and he's number one, right?
Yes, Kyle Shanahan, number one on this gentleman's list.
Wow. Give me the top 10.
All right, top 10. Shanahan, Ryans, Ben Johnson, Sean McVay, Mike McDonald, Seahawks head coach, Mike Vrabel, who you'll be seeing, you know, opposite of this week, Liam Cohen in the Jacksonville, Shane Steichen at 8, Kellen Moore at 9, which I haven't thought a lot about Kellen Moore, but he did do a pretty damn good job with the Saints this year. And then Sean Payton at 10.
Hey, I mean, good for him, but I would go Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid. I mean, just based on the job they did in the turnaround, you know, you got to put someone like Liam Cohen at least in the top five, top six.
I mean, done a great job.
And tactically, you know.
What's also interesting is if you're going to tactics, Robert Saleh is 22nd on this list. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't want to say that they should be handcuffed because, you know, they're not the same guy. But D'Amico Ryans and Robert Saleh, understanding Robert Saleh is just focusing on defense right now. They run similar defenses.
They learn from each other.
Yeah, yeah. Learn from one another. Not saying, again, that they need to be right next to each other, but the far disparity there. But I just didn't wanted to take this opportunity to look at D'Amico Ryans and what he's bringing as a coach. And are we fully appreciating? Because it seems like there are some people on the outside looking in saying this is a phenomenal job from D'Amico Ryans in all different facets.
I think that's a little high for him. But I also think at the same time, he has done an absolutely phenomenal job with this team. And I guess a lot of that has to do with, you know, even though they're saying tactically, starting 0-3 and to be able to keep this team moving in the direction and where it is now, it was just phenomenal, just absolutely phenomenal job. And, you know, changing offensive lines, I don't know if that's tactical or personnel, you know, more of a, you know, roster type building thing. But no, he's done an incredible job.
Yeah, I mean, defensively for sure, right? Somebody said maybe he's looking to D'Amico from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah.
That defense is pinpoint accurate, right? And maybe that is the case. Matt Burke comes in 16th on his list.
Fair.
But, yeah, the defense is pinpoint. The thing that gets me about the tactical is, did you feel like you saw an improvement from D'Amico game management-wise?
Well, and that is part of being a tactician.
That's the thing that when I you know prefaced this and I was like, yeah, but there's also some instances where people will have their concerns. That's one of the ones where are you maximizing your opportunity to score in those, some of those instances?
Well, we saw it this past
week. Using
your
timeouts, things of that nature.
I think there were some holes in his game there. Probably the only hole in the game outside of you know C.J. Stroud that you can criticize. But there were on Monday night. But also part of being tactical is just being fundamental. And this is the best fundamental
team. I'm glad
team.
You mentioned
this
it.
This is the best fundamental team in football right now.
And fundamentals has gotten them where they are.
Yeah.
This defense, because when you hear tactical, I know we're thinking X's and O's and scheme. And one of the things that's said time and time again, defensively, the scheme ain't crazy.
Yeah.
They are doing some fun matchup zone type stuff, but it's not crazy. What makes it great is that they play so fundamentally sound, so fast, so physical, and that is a hype.
There's something just beautiful about that.
It really is. And then you see that also offensively. Them being able to run the football was them honing in on the fundamentals, making sure that you're sustaining blocks by having good technique.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when you're running the football, making sure that you have good eyes and reading well and placing your feet well. Yeah. All those are the fundamentals that have made them a lot better. And C.J. Stroud, when he's at his best, is focusing on the fundamental aspects of playing quarterback. I think that that's a great point, that that's one of the things that
that's
has made D'Amico really good.
Yeah.
And hopefully that continues, because you look up and you go, is he helming this team to the best year that has happened in franchise history? Is this the best defense that's ever happened in franchise history? How many bests in franchise history are you looking at under D'Amico Ryans?
We're finding out right in real time right now.
They're hopefully a lot more to come. So salute to D'Amico Ryans and what he's been able to do with this team to this point. You're headed to the divisional round, and this does not feel like it is the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
You got to get things done, though, and it looks like it might be without Nico Collins, as he was not at practice today. But Juwan Jordan was, and that is encouraging, I believe. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's about that time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so I got to tell you guys about a guy who went on a date, and he did something, and I want to know if he was right for doing this. Plus, if you had a chef in your house, how often would you kind of criticize what he's making?
Oh, there's a story here, and I've got to hear it. You can hear it as well. Next.
Yeah. It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Ficky Fig, holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. So it was a guy on the Nightcap show with Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharpe. And I didn't know they do this, but they just be taking random listeners. And I guess they just be asking them questions and all that stuff. And there was a gentleman on there who popped in, and he kind of wanted some advice from the fellas, some dating advice.
All right.
Because that's who I would go to for my favorite dating advice.
Yeah, of course.
Advice. Shannon Sharpe and Chad Ochoa.
Don't hit record. That's my advice.
Hey, yo.
It might be a little entertaining, but anyway. So a gentleman went on a date with a girl, and this is what he had to say. He wanted to know if he was wrong for doing this.
Okay. So I take this girl to Trulux, and she orders the prime ribeye medium with the king crab truffle butter. It looked amazing. She doesn't finish it, puts it into go box. We end up leaving. I drop her off at her place. She gives me the weakest like side hug ever. I was like, all right, I can tell. Like, I'm never probably going to see you again. I was fine with that, but cool. I get to driving up the street. I'm probably like 3 minutes up the road, and I see her calling, and then I look in the back seat, and I see the to-go box.
Oh.
Ah. Am I wrong for putting my phone on do not disturb? I hit her back once I got home, but am I wrong?
So before we get to Chad Ochocinco's response to this, I want to ask y'all, is he wrong for this?
Oof.
I don't think so. It's clear what she wanted.
Well,
she wanted a very expensive meal.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is he wrong is a different question I will answer in a second. The first question I want to answer is, I would have done that. Like, I would have, especially if I'm in a place where I'm like, look, I'm not seeing her again.
Yeah.
Like, I just, not even, because the way that he said it didn't sound like he might have been interested, but like, nah, this just is not going anywhere.
It sounded like he was interested, but he could tell that
it was over.
She wasn't really feeling
it.
Yeah,
gave her a weak side hug.
Yeah.
So at that point, he probably, in his brain, he probably like, I ain't going to see her again. It's over.
Would I have done that, I would have enjoyed it. I would have enjoyed doing that.
I probably would have did that. I don't know if I would have hit her back. I would have waited for her to hit me back. She got a double back a couple times.
I do think he's wrong though. Like no, I think I'm wrong. I think you're wrong. I think we're
wrong. You're the guy that would take it back. You'd be like, okay, I'll bring you.
You already paid for it.
Hey, you left your stuff in the car.
So eat it.
You already paid for it.
So eat it.
It was hers. Let her have that.
Man, hell no.
I'm with you,
man. Nah.
Like I said, I would have enjoyed that. Like, ha ha. You didn't even get the food. Yeah,
because I'm already thinking in my brain, I ain't going to hear from this girl again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you calling me 3 minutes after I dropped you.
Oh,
now that's why you calling me again.
And look, I am with you.
I would have had fun with
that. Believe that we have diagnosed the situation correctly. Is there a small chance that we're wrong? Sure. But I believe that we have diagnosed the situation correctly. You want to know how we all know that we were wrong? He thought to ask the question of if he was wrong. Yeah, man, you felt guilty about it. Just take her to food. It's cool.
I wouldn't have.
Nah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called anybody.
I said I also wouldn't have. I would like you to know I am on your side, but I'm trying to be responsible.
He said he called her back once he got to the house, too. I don't even know if I would have did that. Mm. I would have, you know, waited a couple days. If she would have called me, then cool. If not, then it's over.
I would have gone so far as the next day just text her and say, that lobster was delicious.
Oh, you wild. You wild for that. I see you on the YouTube page. Reg is a stand-up dude. No, I'm not. I would have also taken the food, but I'm saying, should I have? I should have taken it back.
I'd have just done the chef's kiss emoji and all that.
Hey, that food was so good.
So good. Man.
So here is Chad Ochocinco's response to the guy.
No. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Right. I like the fact that you did that because the way she treated you, right, when she got out the car, and you got to be able to read body language. You got to understand mannerisms. You understand in that situation, she knew she didn't like you, but she basically saw you as the food guy. You were the food guy. I'm glad you kept that meal, young bull. I'm glad you kept that meal.
Yeah.
You got to understand, never date the women you like. Don't chase after women you like.
All right.
Date the ones that like you. It makes the transition into doing what you want so much more smoother and peaceful. Women know they have no interest in those type of individuals. They're really not attracted to them. But, oh, wait, you want to take me out? Oh, a free meal? They're definitely going. Definitely going. You got to be able to decipher the two, especially a woman that would say, we have to go to certain restaurants. We got to go on a certain outing for it to be considered a date.
Yeah.
That's a red flag in itself.
He had me in the first half.
Me too.
He had me in the first half. I was like, what you mean don't date women that you like?
Don't date women you like. Date the women that like you.
Hopefully there should be an overlap. Hopefully there should be an overlap in the Venn diagram. Because also, you don't want to end up in a relationship where you're like, she likes me, but I am resentful of her. That is not where you want to end up.
Oh,
but,
man.
Yes.
I ain't going to lie. That sounds so narcissistic.
That's so bad.
Like, no, don't date women you like. Date the ones that like you because they going to do everything for you.
Yeah.
They going to stick around. They ain't going to mess nothing up.
I was with you. I was like, up until that point, I was with you. You were preaching.
I was like, what are we talking about here, Chad? I think we lost the plot.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I don't know. Was this a she was like, we got to go to True Lux? Or was he trying to impress her? Because if he was like, look at this money. When she ordered all the food on the menu, it'd be like that, dog. Yeah. That's the game. Yeah. Charge it to the game.
I have no idea. It seemed like he didn't have an issue with it. He was just kind of, because I would have been, like, if she chose that I would have been like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Or if I would have chose that, I probably would have been like, yo, what's up? Like, what are we doing after this?
Yes, right.
And
exactly.
And that is why Lux and go home.
And that is why I will circle back to, he sounded
no
like
side hugs over here.
He sounded like he was girl. Good with flexing.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, give me a bear hug that girl. Don't give me no side hug.
Oh, boy sounded like he was all good with the True Lux and flexing up until he felt like he felt some type of way, which is how you know. Take her that food because you had no problem giving her the food. You felt some type of way afterwards. Yeah. Now you don't have to take her again.
Dexter said, I would have finished it on the side of the road.
Hey, yo.
I don't know if I would did all that. But no, I think he was 100% right with just, you know, I ain't going to answer this call. I know what she wants. Mm-hmm. What she wants is in my back seat.
Yes.
So, nah, I'm not turning around giving her this food. Nah.
All the gold diggers ready to hit up Reggie now.
And what I responded to that text is they will not find any gold in this mine. Like, you want to come and mine some debt? I got you.
Hey, just know Reggie going to bring your food back.
Yeah. I will bring your food back. That is something.
Order whatever you want.
And you won't ever, hey, and they won't ever call Reggie again.
You can bring
my food back.
You can order whatever you want, but we going to be at the Applebee's.
That's right.
Applebee's.
The Dollar Eater's going crazy. Let's go.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Mitch Saban and Lou Sports Radio 610. How would you like if you had Gordon Ramsay as your chef at your crib? Like every single day. You wake up, Gordon Ramsay there cooking you breakfast and all that.
Although I think I might get spoiled. It might get old after a while. Just give me a bologna sandwich once in a while, you know?
Hey, he might make the bologna sandwich.
That's true.
Put a little parsley on there and all that good stuff.
Nah, man, just bologna and sandwich bread.
I think it would work out, but I'd be afraid. Like, I don't want you to cuss me out over my food, man, or my order of my food.
Well, he wouldn't cuss out his own food.
Well, he cuss you off for saying something stupid about his food or asking for something that he would believe to be stupid.
Yeah, you'd be sitting there, let me get the salt. Look, what you need salt for? Don't you ever disrespect me like that. Yeah.
Right.
Well, his son, I guess he don't know how good he got it. Maybe he kind of side with you, Lopez, just kind of want something normal. Mm-hmm. He don't want this gourmet breakfast and lunch and dinner all the time.
Yeah.
Because here is Gordon Ramsay and his son. They was sitting side by side talking. Mm-hmm. And Gordon Ramsay asked him to, I guess, give on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you grade his scrambled eggs?
How good are your scrambled eggs on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I like them differently to you. I like them diner style. I don't like this French creamy stuff that I have to eat with a spoon. It's just not very... I like to be able to stab my eggs and pick them up.
Hold on a minute. Now you're sounding like f***ing Jamie Oliver.
No.
Hold on a minute. So you don't like my scrambled eggs all those years with sour cream, a little bit of chives in there and fluffy light?
Yeah, it's good, but it takes, you know, 15 minutes. I like to just stick them in a frying pan, done in 30 seconds.
You cook eggs in a... scrambled eggs in a frying pan?
Yeah, I do.
It's called a frying pan because you fry f***ing eggs in there.
Why do you think I don't want to be a chef?
Yeah, no, but you don't scramble eggs.
I'm going to wait till you're out of the picture, then I'm going to jump in and...
Oh, for f***'s sake. Where the f*** is Jamie?
That's his son, ain't it?
That's his son, yeah.
Yeah, I think his son was cooking because I love me some diner-style eggs.
That's kind of my point.
Like, yeah.
Give me a night where you're just making hamburger helper, man. You know, or something. You know, you just have that old-school, touchstone, nostalgic meal of growing up. And I don't want any scrambled eggs with cream and chives and with a spoon.
I ain't gonna lie. I was sitting there like, damn, I need to try that. I've been having fried eggs, scrambled eggs all my damn life.
Yeah,
I ain't had nothing, no gourmet eggs before, scrambled eggs before. But he was just like, man, just want I like how you said diner style.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's everyday style for me.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, diners have done me good, man. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes being bougie is unnecessary. A diner, when was the last time you walked into a diner and you were just thoroughly disappointed?
Rare. I can't remember. I mean, Waffle House. Hell, give me Waffle House, you know, all day. Well, not all day.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. It's a figure of
speech. Sometimes you go to Waffle House, maybe you go at the wrong time, where you be like, I could have went somewhere else. Like a real diner. Like an Avalon diner or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you get like a nice... local diner?
Yeah.
That Heights Diner is next level, man.
Heights Diner, okay.
Ooh, baby.
Okay. Mm. All right. Yeah. Send in your favorite diner, 713-572-4610. We might go on a little in-the-loop diner tour. Shoo.
It's the Mitch Dave in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So Dave Grohl, the drummer for Nirvana. I ran across this interview. He was talking to Pharrell Williams, and I guess he was asked about the inspiration he got for being a drummer, and... this is what he said.
I'm a good drummer because I'm the most basic drummer. If you listen to Nevermind, the Nirvana record, I pulled so much stuff from the Gap Band and Cameo and Tony Thompson on every one of those songs. All that. That's
old.
That's old disco. That's all it is.
Can I not hear that?
Nobody makes the connection.
That's straight up Gap Band.
I told Tony Thompson that. He came to my house for a barbecue with somebody, and I was like, man, I just want to thank you because, you know, I owe so much. I've been ripping you off my whole life. He goes, I know.
Whoa.
That big disco flam. Like, it works.
I thought that was so cool,
man.
Dang,
I love that.
I didn't even put two and two together.
No,
and I
of course
listened
not.
To both of those songs all the time.
You and me both, you know, that's my playlist.
Yeah.
That side and the other side.
Gap Band and Norvina, Smell Like Teen Spirit. I never put those two together.
Yeah.
And once I seen this, I'm like, oh.
Now I know.
I can't unhear it again now.
But you know, Dave Grohl gets to a simple truth from an excellent standpoint, mm-hmm. which is the best steal a little bit, right? Obviously, you want to do it in the most ethical ways, but the best steal. How many times have we said that, you know, this is a copycat league? But it just has to work is the only rule. And honestly, that's one of those things that you see in, you know, in coaching, and you go, man, you see something fantastic. Can you take it? And really, the genius is, can you find a way to, you know, implement it in what you do? And Dave Grohl, he did a fantastic job in Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's not out of place, and that's the reason why you didn't put those things together.
Yeah, the thing is, and you're right, Reggie, I think a lot of people do that, but I had no idea. He was just like, oh, I was inspired by the Gap Band.
Yeah.
I got this from the Gap Band. I'm like, oh, I hear those two songs all the time.
Yeah.
And never put those two together.
It also kind of speaks to why certain types of music speak to you more than others. Because, like, you know, growing up, you know, I was all about funk and a little bit of disco. And now you're like, man, I love Nirvana.
Yeah. It kind of makes you think, like, that's there's why a lot of people, you know, they go to that song. Mm-hmm. That's why that song, or hell, that album kind of speaks to them.
Yeah.
So it made total sense. So salute to him, man. I thought that was dope. And I'll get y'all out of here on this real quick. I just saw this. Netflix posted this on their Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Irvin. He got a new video podcast going on, and I don't know the name of this is insane. Yeah, yeah.
The name of this is insane.
So he got a new video podcast called The White House. It's called The White House with Michael Irvin.
This is like when OJ wrote that book called If I Did It. Why are you doing this? Yeah. Why are you pointing us back to the things that you've done that are illicit? Yeah.
When I first seen this, because I seen the tweet like an hour ago, and I'm thinking like, oh, it's probably a White House documentary or something like that. Nope. The White House with Michael Irvin, a new original sports video podcast. And that's coming January 19th.
Yeah.
And I think my other favorite part is he going to have rotating co-hosts on there.
Yeah.
Including former All-Pro wide receiver Brandon Marshall. I'm like, yep, that's a perfect marriage there. There's going to be a whole bunch of sweating. Everybody in there going to be sweating for no reason.
Unbelievable.
I'm still thinking about that music thing now. It's just all coming together.
It's got you.
Now. It's just all coming together.
Yeah. I just, like I said, people do that all the time, but I didn't put those two records together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Well, I was like, what, Ray Lewis's podcast would be like the dumpster?
That would be great. We could do a whole segment on that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Name the podcast.
Yeah, name the podcast for the famous individual. 713-572-4610.
White Suits.
There you go. That's exactly, the White Suit podcast, Ray Lewis. Or the stained white suit, in fact. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That is the mixtape right here. 1:20 p.m. every weekday on this very program at the Figgy Fig. If you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. There's a lot of people talking about this food. You done started a whole war.
Oh, really?
My goodness. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. Always fun to be with you here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Always appreciate, especially you guys getting involved with the program. Makes it that much more fun. And I'm being very direct in this one because the mixtape gave us a lot of interaction. And so thank you for that. But especially, I'm still shocked and flabbergasted, honestly, that Michael Irvin got a podcast called The White House.
The White House.
And to that end, y'all started throwing in your variations of various figures and what their podcast would be called. It seems like there's people going with either The Parlor or Therapeutic Sessions with Deshaun Watson. I see you. Beats by Dre, the Andre Johnson podcast.
All right.
Understood. The Powder Room with Michael Irvin.
Fair. Close
very
enough.
Good. Very good. And I also threw in there, how about Climbing the Ladder?
Mm-hmm.
With Jack Easterby, you know.
Oh, that's good.
So if you want to keep having that,
did y'all mention the Pink Cruise?
The Pink Cruise. Oh yes, with Stephon Diggs. Yeah, absolutely. I completely forgot.
I wonder
that
what
one.
That powder was.
Yeah,
it wasn't powder. Was it? Was it actually powder? Or was it little?
It was like powder. a pink little bag.
It was a bag of something pink.
Yeah. I thought it was powder.
I can't even recall. I just
numbers are hot with Reggie Adatula.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to catch a stray here. I've been nothing but good to you people. All right, we're getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive here in just a moment. If you missed it earlier, a couple of notes that we had seen come across the timeline of sorts. Practice today on on both sides of this divisional round matchup, see Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback for the Patriots, did practice as he's in the concussion protocol looking to get out of it. Nico Collins did not practice on his side being in the concussion protocol. I don't know how much of that is just every concussion is different, like a snowflake, it has different symptoms. How much of that is just simply the day between Sunday and Monday, having that extra day for recovery and getting yourself closer to the protocol or closer to the end of the protocol? I don't know. Little disconcerting for me personally. I'm an anxiety riddled dude, though, so that happens at times.
I got problems.
Also, yes. But what hurts in that, because again, you not having Nico Collins kind of makes it tough for your pass game. We've seen how that can be the case in times. And then if they have their full pass game complement, they're not terrifying, I won't say, but they are. They have shown a capability of being solid. Also, the reason why that's the case is yesterday in this time slot and at this point period of the show, I kind of accidentally gave myself homework.
You did.
Remember that?
You did.
Because I was just, I'm curious about this thing. I should go look it up.
Damn, I have confidence that you did, in fact, do your homework.
You know me.
Yeah.
My mom will whoop me if I didn't do my homework. That is the trauma that I continue to carry. But jokes aside, it was about the slot receivers, right? Because the Steelers were actually pretty bad at covering slot receivers this year. They were one of the three worst teams, or gave up the most yards, rather, to slot receivers this season. And you saw that with Christian Kirk literally putting up a franchise record number of yards out of the slot in this game versus the Steelers. And I was like, well, what are the chances that you can do that again against the Patriots? Well, I mean, sure, there's probably a chance just generally. The numbers don't necessarily support it, is what I will
tell you. Oh, really?
Yeah. So New England versus the slot. Now, this isn't the second half of the year. This is the full year, just because I could not find a good way of filtering this down. Slot receivers were able to get 7 yards per play, which was actually good for 10th.
I was going
to
say pretty good.
In the league.
It's actually better than pretty good.
And then EPA per pass was 7th. So they're top third defensively versus the slot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going, if you do go off in the slot, it's because you had a fantastic day. It's not because that is a susceptible place versus the Patriots. And it makes sense because Marcus Jones is their nickel.
I was just looking it up. Like, who are we looking at?
Yeah,
here?
Marcus Jones has been a very good nickel for them. So that makes sense that it ends up being that way. But if you're looking for like the places that are soft in that team, it wouldn't be in the slot versus the nickel. Now again, when this team has done well in breaking routes, you know, especially when they have time to protect C.J. Stroud, slants have been something that have been useful for them at times. So who knows? Maybe they can still get into that place and attack the middle of the field, but it has not necessarily been, at least when it comes to the slot, a place this year that the Patriots have been susceptible to. So there you go. That's my homework assignment.
And you did well on that. It does give me a little bit of pit in your stomach, because with no Nico Collins, which, of course, if you didn't hear earlier, and, you know, not practicing, as you just said, but that could be problematic. And Christian Kirk, hell of a game.
Yeah, hell of a game.
Will he even be in the slot?
No, that was an interesting thing that, what was it, Sam Warren made note of in the early portions of the practice that the media could see. Because obviously, they don't get we don't get the full, exposure to the entirety of practice. They went with a wide receiver core of Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, and Jalen Knoll. Now, it's the first reps of the first practice of the week. That does not mean that's specifically what they're going to do. But the idea of Christian Kirk on the outside is one that it kind of tickles the brain, but I don't know if that's a
good thing. But he did that some in Jacksonville, right?
I mean, sure, but you want to look at his tenure in Jacksonville and say that that's the way that you want to play this?
Well, he had one good year.
Okay.
One and a half.
All right.
Maybe.
That does not inspire me. And especially because, as much as Jaden Higgins has the same size, we saw immediately how he does not have the things, the intangibles that make Nico Collins really great.
Right.
I will, again, bring you back to the back shoulder throw that he has on a go route, where he does not even really identify the football to be able to get around and grab it, where Nico Collins, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, makes that particular grab. You see the differences in the ways in which Nico Collins helps create some things offensively. Obviously, Jaden Higgins is early on in his development. I don't know necessarily that he's doing that. But Christian Kirk also just doesn't profile as that on the outside. And so that's the thing that kind of freaks me out about that in particular.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.